welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And coming up this week, we're going to be catching up with Pontefract Collieries, who've received some brilliant news recently on being awarded £25,000 worth of building materials from Buildbase and their Community Club Award. But before that, let's go to Radcliffe and to the news that Lee Fowler has signed a new two-year extension as manager at the club. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by the welcome return to the show to Mr. Lee Fowler. Well, Lee, a big thank you for joining us. And first things first, big congratulations on this great news of the contract extension at the club. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel good. We've done a lot of work, you know, offside of the football pitch rather than on it. And it just felt natural to do so. You know, I think there was a good style coming to happen towards, you know, the way I wanted to play. They see how hard I work, and I've just engulfed myself into the culture of the football club, and it's really good news for everybody that I've signed.
With that regard, obviously, you know, it's a bit of stability from the coaching side of things, and as a result of that news, we've seen a plethora of retentions with regards to the playing squad as well. I mean, how important is this stability, do you feel, as we head towards pre-season in a couple of months' time?
Well, I think it's massively important. I think the actual instability of it was nearly cost the club the relegation under when they lost John and Frank. So to have the stability from the manager and the staff, and you know, it filters into the players. You know, I don't like chopping and changing. I keep with people I trust and love working with. As I said, there's going to be a few casualties along the way, but you know, on the whole, we've kept a lot of the same group as we did last season because there wasn't much wrong. And once they see them, their manager committing into it, it's easier for them to do so as well, especially when a couple of them could have left to higher levels.
One of those players who's been re-signed for next season is obviously your captain, Matthew Crovers. I mean, how important is he going to be in your plans for next year?
Yeah, massively. You know, as I said, you know, I remember watching him at Bamber Bridge away when the previous regime were managers and they were going to get rid of him. And it was important that we kept him on. He plays everywhere. He plays well, he's committed, he loves the club as well. But ultimately, just because he's the captain, it doesn't mean he's guaranteed his place in the team. So, you know, we've rewarded him with the captaincy and, you know, the contract. But ultimately, it's down to Matty now to get back in the team because, you know, last season he found himself on the bench when Neil Dan to come in. So, you know, just because you're the captain, it doesn't mean you have to play every game.
And with regards to next season, I mean, it's been... I mean, what month are we in now? May. It's been ages since we last played, wasn't it? I mean, how have you found this period about looking to next season and shaping your squad and that kind of things? I'm imagining you've been planning this for a while now with regards to next year.
Yeah, it's already done. You know, I can't believe people haven't been ready to do what they need to do because that much time to do so. So I think, you know, the first week after the season curtailed, we were ready. We knew who we were going to keep. We knew what we'd done wrong, what we'd done good. All our pre-season fixtures were sorted by, I think, January. As trips away and games home and away. And, you know, we've recruited the players we want to re-sign. And we've spoke to the players who are waiting them to come out of contract now. I think it's this week that out of contract. So, you know, we have got all our eggs in order. And obviously just waiting to get back to play football in pre-season.
So what's the next steps for you then, Lee? I mean, I'm imagining this, like you say, I mean, the season's not technically finished yet, is it? But when do you get the boys back in and that kind of thing?
So, yeah, for me now, as I said to you before, I need a break. I sound daft and I've had no games, but, you know, the training ground, the scoreboards, the international programmes, there's loads of stuff that we've done behind the scenes that I've really been in the forefront with the chairman with, and, you know, is on the Zoom calls to Bermuda and America, and there's lots of things happening which is going to come to fruition soon, which is I need a little break, a little recharge. I've got the people committed. I spoke to the lads who are going to be in the next season as well, and I'm daily just speaking to the lads to make sure that they're ready to sign for us. And then we get back in June the 22nd with the first game being on June the 26th. We got an event or a three-day sort of North Wales camping trip, if you want to call it. You know, the lads will be able to have a good get-together, a good drink. There's be two football games against Carnarvon and Porthmadog. And we really get the team spirit going straight away. So we're straight back into the games, really.
Oh, great stuff. And obviously that's the immediate. I mean, you mentioned the culture of the club, and we had Paul on a couple of months ago talking about the plans for, you know, developing the site just across the road for the local junior side, and you know, developing pathways for junior players in the area, and hopefully one day playing for the first team and that kind of thing. I mean, how much of that vision excites you, and tying it back in with your contract extension as well?
Well, it was important, really, because what I didn't want to do was, I didn't want to, you know, I've been in a massive part of this process, and then, you know, football is, I've put loads of energy and time into it. You know, it doesn't get built for another 12 months or 18 months. You know, you could lose your job, and then you see everything you've worked for, you don't get to see the fruition of it. So it is important. You know, we have started to slowly upgrade the pitches around the courts outside, and you only got to see when we had games there. You know, when we went back, there was, you know, you got the juniors training in the morning. You've got other age groups on the court, and then you've got us as the first team coming in playing games on the pitch. And, you know, to see it all at one place and one venue is going to be massive for them kids, because ultimately, you know, you don't want them to be going to play for Man City or Man United. You want them to come play for Ratcliffe. So if we've got the facilities and it's all on site, and they can see the first team, and they can see where they're going to go each year, then I just think it's massively important that they see a progression, and it'd be nothing better to have a couple of Ratcliffe homegrown players in a match day squad if they're good enough.
And it seems strange to say this, because obviously Ratcliffe have been playing at Stainton Park for donkey's years, but it does feel like a bit of a blank canvas, really, and the world's your oyster. How excited are you about the future at the club, and, you know, what's possible?
Well, as I said, it's got to be done organically. You know, I know everything's worth splashing loads of money out, because the infrastructure's been better, and you know, everything's happening, the boards, and I'm signing contracts, lads are signing contracts. It's far from the truth, as you can imagine, but what we're doing is we're making it a proper football club, and once you've got the foundations of a proper football club, you can recruit your bigger key players, which we have done. It makes it better and easier sell to come and play for Ratcliffe than it would be for, say, FC United. And in terms of, you know, FC United's got probably the best stadium, the biggest fans at the moment, haven't they, in our league? But, you know, we've got to find a different way. And if we build the infrastructure, we'll be honest with players. We're building a culture at the football club, which needs to start all the way through from the bottom, all the way through to the top, which is there. It's going to take time. Obviously, results on the pitch need to look after themselves. That's down to me. You know, we've got our ambitions, and we know where we've set our targets, and it's up to me and the players to hit them, and I'll be fully supported by the people above me.
And final question, really. I mean, we mentioned pre-season and that. It'll quickly arrive, won't it? I mean, how much are you looking forward to pre-season and ultimately those big league matches starting in August?
Well, yeah, obviously we can't wait to get back to some normality with the fans being back in. It's been different. It's been strange, and we know there's going to be some new coaches coming in. There's going to be a new ways of playing, maybe a little bit more, not as open, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of coaching and hard work. We can't wait to get going, and, you know, as we said before, you can't wait to get the fans back in terms of being able to watch a game of football and having a beer and having smiles on your faces. So that's what we're going to be aiming to do this season.
Well, Lee Fowler, manager at Ratcliffe, a big thank you for taking the time out your bank holiday to come on the show. Really appreciate it, my friend. And all the best with the remainder of what is this season, and all the best for pre-season.
Nah, cheers, mate.
Lee Fowler, the manager of Ratcliffe, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Let's go across the Pennines now and to Pontefract Collieries. They've received some great news over recent weeks with regards to the Build Base Community Club Award. They have been successful in receiving a £25,000 product bursary from Build Base. And for more on this now, we should be joined down the other end of the phone by Vice Chairman at Pontefract Colls. It's a welcome to the show to Tom Wiles. Well, Tom, a big thank you for joining us. And first, a big congratulations on this award from Build Base. I mean, tell us about the application and what this all means.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Obviously, we put in the application a few months ago now. It were more a hopeful application. But I think once we sat down and started to look at, you know, what we've been doing in the past 12 months, especially during the pandemic, supporting the community through our food hub, it became very clear that we were almost a perfect candidate for it. So we put in the application, and we can't thank Build Base and the panel for choosing us enough. It's really exciting times, and it's going to allow us to engage with our local community even more so than we are doing now.
So it's £25,000 a product bursary from Buildbase. I mean, what are these products going to be used for exactly?
Okay, so like I said, we want to carry on engaging with the community. So it's building on a lot of stuff that we've already started. So I think the biggest one and the most building materials is going to go towards our community engagement kitchen. So we opened the food hub in the response to the pandemic. Each week we serve around 25 families, which has a massive impact for those families. During Christmas, we were able, through the kind donations of a local football group in Sherburn and Helmet, we were able to give them Christmas presents as well for the kids, which had made their day and to be honest, made all our Christmases, knowing that we'd done something so good. So the idea with the kitchen is storage space and appliances. We currently, our food hub is in our hospitality area and it's a tiny area. So it's going to give us much better storage for the food hub and mean that we can use our hospitality area again. It also means that it will be located now in the main building. Our hospitality area is away from the main building. And unfortunately, when we put some pictures of food being delivered, we had a break-in. The people broke in and didn't manage to get in, luckily. But they'd also left a petrol can outside, so showed their intention was to steal the food and burn it out, which obviously we were devastated with. So we can now move that into the main building, which is much more secure. And then the kitchen, we want to be able to provide meals for lots of different people. So we are opening an alternative provision for children who struggle with mainstream education. So we will be feeding them on a daily basis. We also have our football scholars who play football with us and are educated. So we will be able to feed them and teach them about healthy meals. We want to work, and we already work with young and adult offenders to help them provide meals and obviously teach them how to cook healthy meals. Also, our alternative provision families, I think one of the key things is that socializing. If they have children who struggle with mainstream education, they will often struggle when they get home. So we'd like to take that stress away from the families, get them in for a meal, and obviously let them sit and eat together and hopefully have some nice family time. Also, our local pensioners, we would like to invite them in and put meals on for them, parent and baby groups. And then I think the big thing is following on from Marcus Rashford, which I think's caught everyone's imagination, not just in the football world, but provide free school meals during the holidays. So when the kids are on holidays and actually may not be eligible for free school meals, we'd like to get them in, cook them a healthy meal, and also use that opportunity to do a bit of coaching with them. So I think the kitchen's going to have a massive impact. Also, we want to improve our changing rooms. So they're very dated. So we want a sense of pride in there for our vulnerable adults and children. So we have two children's disability teams and two adults' disability teams. So we'd like them to get a real sense of pride when they're in there. We'll be ripping out the showers, fully redecorating, putting fully working toilets in there. So that'll have a massive impact on the club. The next project is to finish off the bar. We've actually done a lot of good work with our bar area, but it just needs redecorating now with all the building work that's been going on. And once that's created, we've then got space to be proud of and somewhere for our community to meet and somewhere for us to fundraise for our good causes. So again, that'll have a massive impact on the club, but also on the local community. The next one is a new stand roof. We already have to one side a new stand roof, and it's made a massive difference. By using cantilever roof support, we can actually remove the concrete bases from the old stand, which means that wheelchair and pushchair access will be massively improved. Also, when on a game, people will be able to see the game much better, so there'll be less visual obstruction. I think the idea there is that stand, the kitchen actually backs onto that or is part of that stand. So the idea is on match days to put some windows in there, and the kitchen can become almost like a quiet space for some of our disabled fans and also perhaps parents with young children. So somewhere almost like a quiet and calm space for them to enjoy the games. And then the final one, which is a massive one, is the indoor toilets. So the indoor toilets at the ground are massively inadequate at the moment. We've got one gents and one ladies, which doubles up as a disabled toilet. So we want to completely redo the gents, completely redo the ladies, and then we can have a designated disabled and baby changing facility as well. So again, the whole experience of coming on a match day will be massively improved for the people who use the ground.
No, absolutely outstanding. Can I just clarify something? Is that all from that 25 grand? Or you got add-ons for that?
Yeah.
That's all from that 25 grand. That's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, you were doing some cracky stuff to begin with, but just for... I mean, when we talk about the European Super League and all that and all the big money in the Premier League, it's absolutely peanuts. But what we're talking about here is it's transformative for the football club, but also transformative for the families and the communities that use the football club. I mean, it's sensational,
absolutely.
Really.
100%, Ben. It's amazing. What we've become very good at, you know, we've got probably one of the smallest grounds in the league. You know, we've had a fast rise through the league, so this just allows us to catch up off the pitch in terms of what's going on the pitch in terms of the playing staff. But what we're very good at and what we've had to become very good at throughout the years is maximising space. So all our rooms double up, if not triple up, for different functions as such. So I think it's going to make the place look amazing. And then people, when they come and use those spaces for a variety of different things, not just football, get that sense of pride, which is massively important for our local community and for us as volunteers who give up us time, you know, to walk around the building and think, yeah, we're making real positive changes here. Then, you know, that's going to do us the world of good as well and keep making us want to push forward and improving.
No, absolutely. And like I said, it's really sensational and outstanding stuff. While we've had no football to talk about, we've been focusing more and more on stories like this because, you know, we've had other clubs on like Newcastle, like Workington, like Scarborough, like Lincoln. I've started listing, so forgive me if I've missed anyone off that we've had on in recent weeks. But some great work being done by non-league football clubs, especially clubs at Step 3 and Step 4 as well, who've been a bit overlooked, it has to be said, during this pandemic. I mean, what does it tell us about our level of the game that, you know, clubs like yourselves are doing such outstanding work?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, clubs at our level, they live and die by their volunteers. And the good thing that we've got is we've got a group of volunteers who are extremely proactive and they care massively about the club, but they also are very proud of the town that we serve, which, you know, Pontefract. You know, there are parts of Pontefract that are very, very deprived in the local area. So I think for us, you know, when there was no football, we're the sort of people who can't sit still. You know, so I'm director, child welfare officer, head of juniors. So when there was no football, it was like, right, how can we use this positive energy and do something good with it? And I think, you know, what we've managed to achieve as a relatively small group of people, you know, I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but the people that I work with, I couldn't be prouder of them and what we've achieved in such a short space of time when obviously the country has struggled massively.
And it comes back to the level of support the club's already been offering, but is going to increase in the coming years on the back of this bursary. I mean, what's the next steps? You know, how long is all this going to take?
Yeah, we're going to get all the sort of work out of the way in terms of promoting it and doing that. And then obviously we sit down with Buildbase. We've had that initial chat to make sure that our projects would be covered by the amount and Buildbase and the guy that we spoke with, Danny at Buildbase in Wakefield, was superb. And, you know, he was more than happy that we could achieve what we want to achieve. So I think it's a case of then getting that finished. We would hope by the start of the season, next season, that people can see this. And then obviously we want to kick on and build even more and, you know, start engaging with our community as much as possible. We're talking with our local council at the moment about us becoming even more of a hub for the local community and how we can help them to serve Pontefract and the Wakefield district area. But I would hope that these projects would be completed by the start of the season. So, you know, when people come and visit the ground, home fans, away fans, they can see what, you know, what we've managed to achieve in a relatively short space of time.
And as we discussed here, Tom, you have got a lot on your plate at the moment, haven't you? But obviously there'll be a lot of pressure on yourselves and the volunteers and everyone involved in this project to get it ready for the brand new season. But how much are you looking forward, as you know, as vice chair of the club as well, about bringing fans back into the stadium and actually, fingers crossed, getting through an actual football season? How much are you looking forward to that side of things as well?
Yeah, we can't wait. Obviously, we've had a few behind closed doors friendlies. There have been no fans allowed, unfortunately, due to the situation. But we've had a change of management team. We've got quite a few of the old players that had previously left have come back. All I would say is that the atmosphere in and around the club is so positive. We're all working together, whether that be the first team manager, whether that be someone who takes money on the turnstiles. We have almost that togetherness back again, and it feels fantastic, to be honest. And we really want to push on and challenge as much as possible as we can in the league. You know, we haven't got one of the largest budgets, but what we have got is a lot of pride and a lot of passion in what we're trying to achieve. So yeah, we can't wait to welcome people back, and I think it'd be nice to welcome back some of the away fans who've probably come before and thought it's a bit ropey, and they can see what we're trying to achieve. It will be a long-term project down there. We know that, but as long as we are gradually improving all the time off the pitch and making the stadium and the surrounding area, you know, area around the stadium improve all the time, then that's all we can do. And, you know, we're really excited to keep it improving and cannot wait to see football back on the pitch.
Oh, great stuff. And onwards and upwards, both on and off the pitch at Pontefract Coles. And Tom Wiles, Vice Chairman at the club, a big thank you for taking the time out of your day to come on the show. Really appreciate it. And all the best with the project, and a big congratulations again.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Thanks for your time. And yeah, we look forward to welcoming people back home and away. We can't wait.
Vice Chairman at Pontefract Coles, Tom Wiles, there joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And that's it for this week's show. A big thank you to Tom and Lee for joining me this week. Remember, for the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe week. Bye-bye.